رسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في سورة الأعراف: ولله الأسماء الحسنى. ثم أما بعد، so الحمد لله، we start the third lecture in the series with regards to Allah's names and attributes and how it affects Iman. Inshallah, the next few lectures are going to be focusing on certain principles and methodologies with regards to Allah's names and attributes. And they generally focus, or they stem from the point of Aqidah. Or they come from the point, or from the angle of Aqidah, these lectures, which was the statement of the heart, and then displayed on the tongue. So, inshallah, these next few lectures will be concentrating in the following subject areas. So you've got the general principles regarding Allah's names, and the same with regards to Allah's attributes. And then followed by that, again we'll bring proofs, adillah, this is the word, adillah, meaning proofs or evidences, plural of dalil, dalil is proof, adillah, the plural of that. So we're bringing proofs, inshallah, from the Quran and the Sunnah to support the position, or the correct position with regards to Allah's names and attributes. And then, just like we did with the issue of Iman, we'll bring statements of the ulama of the Salaf, the first few generations of Al-Islam, in order to get that firm yaqeen that yes, this is definitely the correct understanding of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And briefly we'll focus on the term Ahl Sunnah because I've been using it, and just we'll briefly focus on that for a small period of time. And then finally we'll deal with some of the false concepts that are around in the Ummah and that have been around in the Ummah in earlier times. And inshallah we'll deal with refutations of these concepts, again from the angle of the Qur'an, the Sunnah, and the understanding of the Salaf as-Salih. So, to proceed, we'll have a look firstly at some general principles, and by no means are these principles complete. I've just picked a few of the main principles with regards to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's names. And the first principle that we'll deal with today, and this actually goes along, this principle concerns the names of Allah as well as His attributes. The first principle is that all of the names of Allah are what is known as Husna. Husna. And Husna, it's got a number of meanings all related to each other. They're beautiful. They are perfect, and they are excellent in every manner. Okay? Beautiful, perfect, and excellent. These are three kind of meaning for the word husna. So all of Allah's names are perfect. They're all beautiful and they're excellent. They befit Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They befit His majesty. And a person has to understand this point. Very important point. Every single name that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has chosen for Himself, and He's told us, whether He's told us or not, whether He's told us in the Quran or via the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even if He hasn't told us those names, every single one of these names, they are husna. They must befit Allah's majesty. They must befit Allah's majesty. And the proof of this is where Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 190, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحَسْنَى. And to Allah belong the names which are husna, the beautiful or perfect and excellent names. So, let's give an example of this, and there's further references for those of you, inshaAllah, to follow up. For example, one of the names that Allah Ta'ala has chosen for Himself is Al-Hayy, the ever-living. It's one of the names of Allah. This name indicates a perfect life. Okay? It indicates, or is indicative of, a perfect life, which is not preceded by non-existence, and it is not followed by non-existence or death. Okay? So this, for example, we may be living. In fact, we are living. Okay? We also have the quality of al-hayat, living. Right? But Allah's name, al-hayy, okay? The name al-hayy, the ever-living, it is al-hayy in the perfect sense, in the most excellent sense, in the most beautiful sense, and it must befit the majesty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this general principle. They're all husna. So how is the name al-hayy from those names which are husna? Well, the example we gave is that Allah's haya, or His living, is perfect. He's ever living, forever living. There's nothing before Him, and there's nothing after Him. He was, He is, and He always will be. Huh? He was, He is, and He always will be. So this name, Al-Hayy, is perfect in from every angle. And it must befit Allah's majesty. And this, if we understand this point, inshallah well, then it will lead us to understand other points. So, we have to accept whichever name Allah calls Himself by. And this also extends to His attributes, because His names, they affirm attributes, as we'll see in the next principle. So therefore, in the same way, Allah's attributes must befit the majesty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and they're perfect in every way. Another example. Allah has chosen for Himself the name Al-Aleem. Al-Aleem. So this name denotes perfect knowledge. Al-Aleem means the one who knows everything, the all-knower. So this name denotes perfect knowledge. It was neither preceded by ignorance, jahl, and neither is it going to be followed by jahl or ignorance or forgetfulness. So Allah always has knowledge. He has knowledge and He always will have knowledge. This is one of the ways how Allah tabaraka ta'ala's name Al-Aleem is from those names which are Al-Asma'ul Husna, the most perfect names. And the proof of that is where Allah Ta'ala says إن القرآن سورة طه. But the knowledge of it is with my Lord. And Allah. In a book, my Lord does not err, and nor is he forgetful. Because of course mankind has knowledge as well. But Allah's name, Al-Alim, is absolutely perfect. Okay, and therefore his attribute of having knowledge is also absolutely perfect. He doesn't err, and he's not forgetful. As the Christians, they affirmed that Allah has knowledge, and they affirmed that He is the All-Knowing, and yet they accused Allah of being forgetful. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. How free is Allah from this? And how high is He? Way high above that which they associate as partners with Allah. So this knowledge encompasses everything. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. He is the knower of that thing, of those things which are unseen, as well as those things which are openly manifested. He knows everything. And this is from the name Al-Alim. The second principle, inshallah, that we're dealing with, is the fact that Allah's names are both A'lam and Awsaf. They are A'lam and Awsaf. Now A'lam is plural of Alam. Alam. Okay? From Ism al-Alam. Like a proper name. It's an identifier. Something that identifies someone or something. So, a person may be given a name like Abdullah. If Abdullah is identified with this individual, or Muhammad is identified with this other individual, okay? It identifies the individual. If I was to ask a question, and I was to ask a certain brother, and perhaps I knew his name, so I called him by his name, you know, Faisal, Asif, Arif, and so on. I know these brothers' names, and I've identified the name with the person. So it's an identifier. This name is an identifier. In the same way, Allah tabaraka ta'ala, His asma, or His names, are what is known as a'lam, or proper names. They identify with Allah. They describe, or the one you are naming is Allah, from these names, yes? And at the same time, these names are awsaf, which is one of the plurals of sifa. They are descriptions. And we'll go into some examples in a minute, inshallah. So, as names, as they refer to the that of Allah, and the best word I could find to translate this, I found other people translating it in this way, is essence, the essence of Allah, the that of Allah. Okay? Allah Himself, yani. Okay? So they refer to Allah Himself. It's His name. These are His names. When you say Ar-Rahman, you know it's referring to who, Asif? To Allah. So it's referring to the that of Allah. It's referring to Allah Himself. Is that clear? Okay. So we refer to the one who is being named, yani Allah. Allah is the one who has this name. So when you say, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, Allah says, He says, Ar-Rahman made istawa, or He goes over His throne. We know that when Allah is saying Ar-Rahman, He's referring to Himself, because this is His name or identifier, Ism al-Alam. It's his proper name, one of his proper names. So Allah says, say, قُلْ إِذْ اللَّهُ وَإِذْ الرَّحْمَنُ. Say, invoke or make dua to Allah. Or invoke Ar-Rahman. But what are the name you invoke him? It's the same thing. You can call, oh Allah, such and such. Oh Allah, give me such and such. Oh Allah, give me such and such. In the same way, you can say, Ar-Rahman, give me such and such. Ar-Rahim, give me such and such. Al-Aziz, give me such and such. Why? Because they all refer to one. That, one essence, and that is the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The principle, the reason we stress this is because the kuffar, the mushrikeen of Mecca, they heard the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling Allah by these various names, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, for example. So they started saying, he claimed to worship one, but in fact he's calling upon two. Okay? Because they thought Ar-Rahman was different to Ar-Rahim. And Ar-Rahim was different to Allah. Yes? But we have to understand that all these names, they all refer to Allah alone. In the same way, some deviated people from amongst the Muslims, they followed them in this. They followed them in this belief, and they started to say that if you give Allah many different names, then you are denying the monotheism of Allah, the tawheed, or the oneness of Allah. So we say, no, this ayah shows. You can call Allah, you can call Ar-Rahman, whatever ayah, whatever name you call them, it's still referring to the one being named Yani Allah. And likewise, Allah's names are also descriptions, also. So, these names, they describe Allah, with the attributes that are incorporated in the name. So, for example, Allah says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, many times in the Quran. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. So he's named himself by these names. Okay? And then he's, so he's saying, Al-Ghafoor and Al-Rahim are one, Allah. Then in another ayah, in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 51, he says, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ, which means that your Lord is the most forgiving. Again, he's affirming that this is his name, he's the most forgiving, Al-Ghafoor. And then he says, ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ, he possesses Ar-Rahma, the attribute of being mercy. Merciful, sorry. The attribute of mercy. So, he names himself Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim means the most merciful. It has this meaning. Just like the word Nabil is a name and it means noble. The word Sadiq is a name and it means trustworthy. The word Amin means is a name and it means truthful. In the same way, the word Al-Ghafoor is a name, Ar-Rahim is a name, and this, the first one means the most forgiving, the second one means the most merciful. So Allah is saying here in this ayah, in these two ayahs, when you look at both of the ayahs together, He's saying Allah is Al-Ghafoor, that's His name, and also He is Ar-Rahim, He's the most merciful. But some people may say, okay, your name is Nabil, which means noble. But you are not really noble. You don't possess the characteristic of nobility. So they extend that example to Allah. وَالْأَوْيَاذَ بِاللَّهِ And they say, yes, Allah is Ar-Rahim. He's the most merciful in His name. But He doesn't possess the quality or the attribute of being Rahim. Or the most forgiving, the most merciful. But in the second ayah, Allah clearly says, Your Lord, Al-Ghafoor, Your Lord is Al-Ghafoor. That's His name. He's saying, Your Lord is Al-Ghafoor. The one being named is Allah, Al-Ghafoor. And He said, Dhul-Rahmah. And He possesses Rahmah. And as we know from the previous ayah, Al-Ghafoor is Ar-Rahim. So Ar-Rahim possesses Rahmah. Is that clear? Okay? We have to teach you how to nod together. Or shake. Is that clear? Okay. So these verses show that Ar-Rahim possesses mercy, and thus the name Ar-Rahim incorporates the attribute of mercy. In the same way, let's take another name of Allah. Al-Aleem is the All-Knower. That's what the word Al-Aleem means, the All-Knower. This is the name of Allah, and it can be used when referring to Allah. You don't have to say Allah all the time, you can say Al-Aleem if you wish. So that's why we have two brothers called Abdul Rahim or Abdul Aleem, the slave of Al Aleem, which is the same as saying Abdullah, the slave of Allah. That's in terms of the name. But it's different from Abdullah, or Allah is different from the word Al Aleem, because the word Al Aleem, or the name Al-Aleem, is also, not only is it a name, but it's also indicative of the attribute of knowledge. Denoting that Allah Ta'ala, He possesses knowledge, perfect knowledge. Remember the names are Husna. They're most beautiful and perfect. So therefore the knowledge must be perfect. So, this is a general rule. All the names refer back to the one who's named in Allah. All the names, they refer to Allah. They don't refer to anyone else. But they all, at the same time, they all carry their own specific meanings as well. So, Ar-Rahman, Al-Aziz, Al-Hayy are all names of Allah, referring to Allah. But they all carry their own specific attributes which Allah possesses. Ar-Rahman, Al-Izzah, Al-Haya. Okay? Mercy is might and honor as well, and haya, living, the attribute of being ever living. So they all refer back to one Allah, but they all are different from the angle that they all have different meanings. And each of those meanings are descriptions of Allah's attributes. Now this principle, it does not apply to the creation. So for example, a person may be named Sadiq, truthful, or trustworthy. But that does not necessitate that he really has the attribute of being truthful. He may be a liar. It may be more suitable to calling him Al-Khazzab, the liar, rather than Sadiq, truthful or trustworthy. Is that clear? Okay, it does not apply to the creation. This is specific to Allah alone. Or I should say, it doesn't always, or the principle doesn't apply to the creation. So a person may be called Alim, knowledgeable. But it doesn't necessitate the fact that he has his name doesn't really necessitate that he has the attribute of being knowledgeable. So from this principle we should see the grave error of those who deny and strip Allah's names of their meanings. And they are known as the people of Ta'atul, the people who denied Allah's attributes. They said that Allah is At-Sami', the All-Hearer, in name only. But they don't have the attribute, Allah doesn't have the attribute of knowing. He doesn't have. In the same way they said, he's al-Basir, he is definitely the all-seer, because Allah says, wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir. But they said that he's the all-seer, but he doesn't see. You can see the fallacy in the futility of such a statement. The denying Allah Ta'ala of His perfect attributes. And we'll see, we'll go into more of this inshallah later on. Is that principle clear? We'll go into that later inshallah. Is that clear, yeah? Clear? Okay, good. The name of Allah, the description of your name, or when Allah describes himself specifically, we don't give the name for that. So the brothers pointed out rightly that the opposite is not the case. Yes, every name has an attribute or description associated with it and contained in it. But not every attribute that Allah has goes back to a name. You can't derive a name of Allah from one of His attributes. And inshallah again we'll go into more detail in the section on the attributes of Allah. The next principle. That Allah's names, they are of two types. Muta'addin and ghayr muta'addin. Which means, and the best word that I could find in the English language is transitive or intransitive. Transitive or intransitive. What do we mean by transitive and intransitive? Mutaaddi means that it has a direct relationship to other than Allah. The name of Allah, those names of Allah which are mutaaddi or transitive, they have a direct relationship to the creation rather than Allah. And those names which are غير متعدد, they're intransitive, they don't have a relationship, a direct relationship to other than Allah. For example, in the English language, we could have the word or the verb to sleep. To sleep. Now this verb is intransitive. Why? Because it hasn't got a direct relationship to anything else. You can say, I sleep, or I slept. Full stop, that's the whole sentence. I slept. It doesn't have to refer to anything else. But something that is transitive has a direct relationship on something else. For example, if I said, I made, you can't say, I made. You have to have made something. Has a direct relationship to something other than it. So if I said, you know, I made this cup. That is now a sentence. Why? Because it's a transitive verb. Is everyone clear on the word transitive and intransitive? Yeah. Transitive verbs or transitive verbs are those verbs that have a direct relationship with something else. Maybe some more examples from the floor. Transitive. Huh? I ate. Transitive, that has a direct relationship with something else. What did you eat? I ate food. Okay? I drank. I invented, example. Okay? So, وهذا الداعي ليس شيء to other than the person who did. But if I just said, I lived, it doesn't have a direct relationship to anything else. I can't say, I lived, you know, something else. You can't really say a direct relationship. You can't express a direct relationship with something else. Likewise, if I said, I heard, what did you hear? You heard something. I heard the noise of such and such. I heard the noise of a car. It's a direct relationship with something else. But I could say, like I said, I live. It doesn't have a direct relationship on something else. That's intransitive. So if the name of Allah is transitive, then we affirm three things for Allah. I suggest you make notes on what the word transitive and intransitive is. Sorry? Muta'addim. Muta'addim. That's transitive. And intransitive, غير متعدد. Okay, so if it is muta'addim, if it's transitive, then we must affirm three things. We have to affirm the name for Allah. We'll give some examples and try to clarify a little bit more. I know it's maybe a little bit difficult concept. We have to affirm the name for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have to affirm the attribute that the name comprises of. And also we have to affirm its ruling and what that name necessitates. Yani to other than Allah. So we have, and if the name is ghair muta'addim, is not transitive or is intransitive, then we only affirm the name for Allah and the attribute that the name comprises of. An example. As-Sami'a. It's one of the names of Allah which are transitive, muta'addid. As-Sami' means the all-hearer. Okay? The all-hearer. So it's transitive, and we therefore affirm the three matters. We affirm the name for Allah. We affirm the attribute that the name comprises. And then we affirm it's the ruling of that name and what it necessitates. So the name for Allah that we're affirming is As-Sami'. Wa huwa As-Sami' al-Basir. He is As-Sami' and al-Basir. The attribute of As-Sam' or hearing, that we have to affirm that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He hears. In the perfect manner. Remember his names are Al-Husna, the perfect, and by extension his attributes. So we affirm As-Sam'. Then it's ruling. What's the ruling behind the name on other than Allah? What does it necessitate? It necessitates that Allah hears all that is said in open and all that is said in private. This is an example. of one of the rulers. That Allah hears everything that you say, everything somebody else says, no matter which language it's in, no matter when it's being said, even if it's being said at the same time, in different places, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen As-Sami'ah, He hears all of that. So, what does that necessitate? It necessitates you being careful of what you say. Because Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, He hears that. In private, or in public. Yes? It necessitates that. But the name Al-Hayy, the ever-living, is غير متعدد, it's not transitive, it's intransitive. So we affirm that Allah Ta'ala, He is Al-Hayy. The name Al-Hayy, we affirm for Allah. And we affirm the attribute of Al-Hayah, living, which the name Al-Hayy comprises of. Okay? Which is in the perfect manner. Yeah, clear. Some more examples, inshallah, just to make it a bit clear. He's Al-Aleem. He's the All-Knowing. He knows something or everything. So it affects other than Allah directly. So we affirm three things. He's Al-Aleem, the All-Knowing. We affirm the name for him, Al-Aleem. We affirm that Allah has knowledge and His perfect knowledge. And also, we also affirm that Allah's knowledge covers every single thing. Nothing is hidden from Him. He knows everything. It's transitive. It has a direct relationship to other than Allah. Al-Razzaq is the provider. We affirm the name Al-Razzaq for Allah. It's transitive again. We affirm that Allah provides, He has the attribute of providing. And likewise, we affirm that Allah provides for and sustains the whole of creation. He sends down the rain, He spits for seed, He causes the herbage to grow, and so on. Okay, He feeds and clothes the whole of creation. Because He is Ar-Razzaq. He provides something. Then He provides something. Intransitive examples. He is Al-Ahad. He is Al-Ahad. He is the One. It doesn't necessitate you're not being Ahad for anything else. And He is just Ahad. It doesn't actually, it's not transitive. It's intransitive. So you only affirm that Allah is Al-Ahad. That's His name. And that He is one, He has the attribute of being Ahad, or one. He is Al-Awwal, again, intransitive, He's the first. So we affirm the name Al-Awwal for Allah, we affirm that He is the first, before everything, before us. Okay, and that's the attribute of being the first. As-Samad, the self-sufficient, again, it's intransitive. We affirm the name As-Samad for Allah, and you affirm that He is self-sufficient and independent of everything else. Now these, notice that the verbs or the names of Allah that are transitive are usually verbal names. Okay, they're names which are, they're like verbal names, they're doing names. Okay, so when Allah says He's Ar-Razzaq, He's sustaining. Okay, whereas these intransitive names are usually names that refer to Allah's essence, describing Allah Himself in terms of His essence. And the transitive ones, those names, they describe the actions of Allah. The actions of Allah. Okay, so in general, the transitive names describe Allah's actions to the creation, and general actions, usually. And the intransitive names, they describe Allah's essence Himself. I hope that's clear, John. The fourth principle, very important principle, is that the names of Allah are what is known as tawqifiyah. And there's no room for the intellect to be used regarding them. Tawqifiyah means you stop. You make waqf. Okay? You stop. How does that apply to Allah's names and attributes? It means that all the names of Allah have to be derived from revelation. You can't go past the red light. And the red light is revelation. You can't come along and say, okay, mashallah. And you're looking at perhaps a bridge. You're looking at this bridge and you're thinking, subhanallah, a great architect must have made this bridge or designed this bridge. So then in your mind comes an analogy. Wow, if an architect, such a great architect, made this bridge, then how about the one who created the whole universe and designed it? He must be the greatest architect. So then you give Allah the name, the greatest architect, or the engineer, al-Muhandis. You can't do this. You can't give Allah names. There are 33. He is the only one who has the right to give himself a name. And he's either told us in the Quran, or he told us in the Sunnah, or he kept it for himself. Allah says in the Quran, do not pursue that which you have no knowledge, that of which you have no knowledge. You don't have knowledge of Allah because you haven't seen Allah except that which He told you about. Likewise He says, say, my Lord is forbidden, and then He mentions fahisha, and He mentions killing, and then the third thing He mentions is shirk, and the fourth thing He mentions, and that you say about Allah that of which you have no knowledge. Allah is forbidding this. And He mentioned four things. And Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, He mentioned that this order that Allah gave, these four things. First He mentioned fahisha. Then He mentioned killing, murdering. The third thing He mentioned is shirk. They're ascending in order of how bad the sin is. So you have fahisha. And worse than fahisha is sinning, is killing. And worse than killing is shirk. And he said, therefore, worse than shirk itself is to speak about Allah, that of which you have no knowledge. So a person may ask, I thought shirk was the greatest sin. It is the greatest sin, because whenever a person speaks about Allah without knowledge, okay, that type of, we're talking about that kind of speaking, which is shirk. But when you're speaking about that, not only are you committing shirk yourself, but you're telling other people. That's why it's such a great sin. Speaking about Allah without knowledge. So they are tawqifiyah. You can't come along and give Allah any names. Likewise, the attributes as well. Fifth principle we will consider is that the names of Allah, they're not limited to a specific number. What's the proof of this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua. He said, I ask you by every name, he's asking Allah, that you have named yourself. Or which you have revealed in your book, or which you have taught to anyone from amongst your creation, or which you have kept to yourself in the knowledge of the unseen. Okay, so we can't actually limit Allah. Why? Because so we can't limit the names of Allah to a particular number. What's the wajh of dilala from this ayah? Who can tell me? Good. That there are some names that have not been disclosed. It's kept in the knowledge of the unseen. Allah hasn't told anyone these names. And therefore, we can't count up Allah's names. to say Allah has so many names, 99 or whatever. So what about the hadith in Bukhari in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed to Allah belong 99 names, 100 minus 1. من أحصاها دخل الجنة. Whoever أحصاها or enumerates them, is one translation, he will enter paradise. So here, this doesn't actually mean that to Allah belong only 99 names. He has more names than 99. But there are 99 which, if a person memorizes them and enumerates them, he will enter paradise. An example of this would be if someone says, I've got £99 to give to charity. It doesn't mean that the total money that that person has is £99. It just means that out of the total money he's got, he's counted £99 and he's got that to give to charity. So the second part of the statement, counted £99 to give to charity, qualifies the first. In the same way, when the Prophet said, indeed to Allah belong 99 names, 100 minus 1, whoever enumerates them will enter paradise. He's talking about the ones that one enumerates, and thus will lead into paradise. Those are those 99 names. Is that clear? The final principle, inshallah, that we'll consider with regards to Allah's names at the moment, is that we don't commit what is known as al-ilhad. Ilhad comes from the root word lahada, which means to deviate, or one of the meanings is to deviate or swerve from the right course. Okay, lahada, swerved, deviated. So Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. Which means, to Allah belong the most beautiful names, so invoke Him by them, and leave those وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ يُلْحِدُونَ, which means those who commit ilhad or deviate concerning his names. So we don't commit ilhad. What is ilhad? Deviation. How can ilhad occur? Some different types. One more slide, inshallah. To deny anything that names of Allah are indicative of. So perhaps you affirm the name and you deny the attribute that the name comprises of. That is ilhad. Sometimes you deny the name itself, as the Jahmiya did. And of course they deny the attributes. Children and other than them. And other than them. So another way of committing ilhad is to claim that the names of Allah imply attributes that are similar to those of the creation. For example, when Allah says He is al-Basir, we can't commit ilhad by saying He's al-Basir, He sees the way we see. Of course not. Everybody knows Allah's seeing is different to our seeing. Allah's seeing is different to our seeing. So one cannot commit what is known as tashbih, and later on we'll talk about that inshallah. Another way of committing ilhad is to call Allah by a name that He Himself did not call Himself by. Like the Christians, they call themselves Father. Allah didn't call Himself Father. And you can go on about the philosophers, the first cause, the first essence, and whatever else they have. Allah didn't call Himself by these names. The spirit, or the nature, and various other things. No. This is all ilhad. Another example of ilhad, is to derive other names from the names of Allah and then give these names to idols or other than Allah. For example, Allah has the name Al-Aziz. So the feminine derivative of that name, Al-Uzza, was given to a pagan god by the mushrikeen at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They took Al-Aziz, which is the name of Allah, and they gave the feminine version of that, Al-Uzza, to an idol. This is known as Ilhad. Al-Lat as well, Al-Ilah, and they gave the feminine of that, Al-Lat, or the deity, they gave that to a pagan god as well. But then these names are unique for Allah, and no one else deserves them, just as He is unique in deserving the worship of the whole creation. So this summarizes some of the major principles with regards to Allah's names. So inshallah, if there's any questions with regards to that.
Saying that we
know
we do this because
it's
Allah
who knows
best about
himself,
and this
is the
Allah
who knows best about the creation. That's right. That we commit or we stop at the names and halt at the names of Allah, and we only take that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have given as names to Allah. We only take those as names for Allah, and the reason. Well, one of the reasons for this is the fact that Allah, He knows best about Himself than we know about Allah. So, and like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows better about Allah than us, so and that's the only way that we can know Allah through His names and attributes. So we can't give Him names, because He's from the unseen, we can't see Him. So we can only rely on what Allah ta'ala has told us about His names. Any other questions or comments? قل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت واستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We'll take a break now for 15 minutes inshallah, so we'll resume about 3:45. جزاكم الله خيرا.